Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin. And thanks for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons, episode 290-something craziness. I'm joined here with Maria Wilson Duff. Maria, hello.
Hello, hello. How is everyone tonight?
Oh, I'm doing just fine, quarantining myself and staying away from the evil COVID. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. A country girl, so I'm kind of used to this isolation thing, and sometimes I kind of welcome this isolation. So I don't know about you big city folk, but out here in the country, I like to watch my cows graze in the fields and be alone.
Well, I enjoy isolation periodically, but since I have a very unhealthy habit for slot machines, this is not very conducive to my addictive personality.
No,
what am I to do with all this extra money I have?
You know, honey, I have a PayPal account, and I can send that address to you, and you can give your weekly donations that you usually give to the casinos to me, and I will be grateful for every coin I get.
Well, while that would give me a warm and fuzzy feeling, it just doesn't have the same level of excitement as sitting in front of a machine with the bells and whistles going off in a bonus round. So,
well,
probably
I'll ring
not.
A cowbell if you want me to.
it's just not the same. So hopefully this whole thing... Interesting observation, because I do work in a hospital. More specifically, I work in a hospital laboratory. You can imagine how much of a nightmare that is during our current outbreak. I thought when this thing broke out that the hospital would be swamped, you know. And what I'm finding is the exact opposite. Now, I know as we increase in positive cases, it'll probably be a lot busier. But as of last week, the hospital's dead, and I really didn't take into account people are avoiding the hospital. And I think it's the people that go to the emergency room for really ridiculous reasons, like to get stitches removed or their knee hurts or something like that. So I thought that was interesting. But I know as we progress and have more positives and people become sicker, it'll get crazier. But as far as my experience in Oregon, that's what I saw last week.
So what is the case report number that you know of?
In my state?
Yes.
498, something around those lines of confirmed positive.
In Kentucky, as of today, it is 439.
Hey! Yeah, it's certainly not what's happening in New York, California, but I hope we as a country get over this, and I'm sure we will. We've, you know, gone through tough times in the past and made it. But we do have a fantastic guest tonight, and I do see she's on hold. It's Jill Shelley, and she's the owner of the Boyd House, which is a haunted location. So I think, Maria, without any further ado, let's get her on and learn a little bit about the Boyd House.
Great, because I'm very excited to hear about this tonight.
You too. Hey, Jill, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me on. Excited to be here.
No problem. We're excited to have you on and to learn a little bit about the Boyd House. So we'll kind of just give you the floor and tell us a little bit about this location, and we can just dig right into it.
Okay. Well, I've actually myself have been a paranormal investigator for 10 years. And so I was with a group called St. Croix Paranormal. And we kind of traveled around the U.S. to well-known haunted locations. And, you know, after a while, I kind of started thinking, gosh, wouldn't it be kind of fun to have my own place, you know, to do my own investigations as well as let others come in and do investigations. So I kind of started doing some research, and I came across Boyd House. And it was kind of one of those, when I saw the pictures, it kind of like called to me. Even before I went down, I kept looking at the pictures. Even after I went down, I kept looking at the picture.
I know the feeling.
I think it just called to me. So when I was doing, looking for houses to purchase, the realtor I was working with knew that I was looking specifically for haunted location, so I would do many investigations at places I'd go look at. And when I went to the Boyd House, I had gotten on the spirit box, like a woman say, "Who are you?" Like, she was kind of like, you know, what is this? What is going on? This is like new. Nobody talks to us, you know? And then we had a REM pod we had set up, and within 8 minutes that was going off. And then, you know, I'd kind of be like, "Oh, can you stop touching that?" And it would stop. And like, "Can you touch it again?" And it would do it again. So it was kind of being an intelligence with me at the time. And we just got a few, you know, a couple names on the spirit box. And so I was kind of, well, you know, should I just go off of that? So we had asked the owners, and they had some minimal experiences, but I think they kind of brushed a lot of it off. And then I checked also with a psychic that I really, really trust. And she said that there was two women, a couple of children, and a man in the house. And a lot of it, just as we are unfolding and getting more evidence on the house, it's starting to really point to that who's in the house. Plus, we're getting a whole bunch more that we're not really sure who people are at this point.
Now, what's the history of the house? Is it like back from the 1800s, early 1900s? Is there any like verifiable deaths in the house?
What we found is that so the house was built in 1901, but the deed itself goes back to 1884, and then the town was a really big boom and railroad town at the time. They had like hotels and, you know, hardware stores and, you know, theaters and restaurants, and now there's pretty much not a whole lot there at all. So it was a big boom in town back in the day. So the land itself was owned originally by the Pacific Railroad, St. Louis Pacific Railroad, and the tracks still run on the edge of the property. So when the train goes by, you can actually see the train going by through the trees. So it's really, really close, and it was part of the original property at one point, but it's been divided off. And the first owner who was entrusted to that land committed suicide, and then it went through several different people who, it's hard to find research on because it's back in the 1800s, so we're still really digging in on what kind of information on who owned the land. But one of the earliest owners of the house was named Fred Eckert, and he was one of the town founders, and he actually passed away in the house as well. And we're getting some evidence that we think he may still be there, but I haven't 100% confirmed it, but we get his name and we get their last name said too, which is Eckert. And he was the justice of the peace of the town. He also owned the hardware store, and they would, like, on weekends, Fridays and Saturdays, they were open till midnight. And also he was the closest one to the fire alarm. So when there was a fire in town, they would phone him and he would run about two blocks up, hit the fire bell, and then the fire people would come to put out any fires that there was in town. So it was kind of digging up a little bit more history as far as that goes. So So we have gotten his name said and stuff.
I'm looking at a picture. It does kind of have an eerie draw to it. It looks like a decent-sized house, too.
Yeah, it's like 2,100 square feet. So it's got four levels. It's got the basement, the main level, the upstairs, and then the attic. I really like the attic because it's like a total open floor plan. And it runs the whole gamut of the house. So it's kind of a neat little storage area. And then on the main floor, or I'm sorry, on the second floor, there's four bedrooms up there. And then we found a new little crawl space that we learned about. So we got that cleaned out and opened up too. So people have been getting some action in there. People have heard a woman humming, and I've got some good spirit box responses in there as well. And then I do know we have two deaths in the house for sure. And I know when the Eckerts lived there, four of her children died in infancy, but it doesn't say where like that. So I don't know if those children have died in the house or if they've died in the hospital. So, you know, so there's just still some things that we're trying to dig up, you know, for the house. And you know, we're learning all kinds of things every day.
The community that the house is in is pretty small, is it not?
No, it's big. It's 2,100 square feet, so.
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah, it's got the four levels, so there's quite a bit. The rooms are kind of small, but they didn't have it that big back then. But what I like is they have all the natural woodwork, the natural floor. The stairwell is like the split, so you can come in either through the kitchen or you can come in either through the living room. So it's got that either-or entrance. Like, maybe they might have had servants back in the day. It's hard to say. And we have a glass chandelier, which I believe is original to the house, and that's, like, my favorite thing in the house is that glass chandelier. But, yeah, like, the original doors, all that stuff is on there. So it's got a lot of good character to the house, which I really like that.
Do you get a sense? This isn't one of those hauntings where it's like negative. Do you get a sense of that at all, or is this just kind of a peaceful, intelligent haunt?
Oh, no, nothing negative at all. I think from our findings, we've been having some, you know, pretty much women and children, and so far just one man. He can get kind of a little cranky, but I think after a while he gets kind of sick of the questions. And it's not like he gets mean. He's just kind of, you know, are you done yet? You know, kind of cranky that way. But for the most part, they're very interactive. I think a lot of it's new for them because, like I said, the previous owners lived there about 30 years, I think. And they didn't really engage with the spirits at all. Like I said, they had some experiences, but again, just didn't want to engage at all. And here I come, and I start talking and want them to do things and touch things, and this is all new. You know, they don't understand what the REM pod is. And so I spent a lot of time when I first purchased the house up until I started opening up for investigations in June. So we did a lot of cleaning, getting some stuff ready, trying to keep the house into the period form. So we're bringing in all Victorian furniture and antiques and things like that, so there could be some more energy brought into the house as well. But again, nothing negative. Everything's been peaceful. And I think they enjoy the interaction too. One of the first, I had a REM bear, and I knew there were children there because I was getting some spirit box responses. And they weren't really touching the equipment a whole lot. And, you know, here's, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I don't know. Maybe they're hiding, there's no spirits, who knows? And I just sat in the kids' room one day, and I was like, hey, look at all these toys I brought for you. You know, people are going to bring you more toys, but you just got to give me some sort of sign that you're here. And then that night, my little REM bear went on and off for like about an hour, and he had never done that before. And he's done it since then, but I think they just needed that encouragement and to be shown how to use it, and now they touch people's equipment all the time. So it's kind of fun. I think they're kind of getting in the enjoyment. You know, I think they're like reacting a lot.
I've never heard of a REM bear. So I imagine that's somebody takes the technology of a REM pod. And when, actually, we should rewind. Can you remind the listeners what the REM pod is?
Yeah, that's just a device that helps detect if they kind of disrupt the electromagnetic energy around them. So there is outside sources that can do it, walkie-talkies, cell phones, things like that, but you have to get really close for that to happen. So if they come in within a proximity and they break that barrier, that will set that off, and that's a supposedly a good indication that there is a spirit there. And then in the case of the REM bear, it's the same thing, but it's just, like you say, it's put inside of a bear, so it's more of an attraction for children. It's always nice to use. We use a lot of different trigger objects when we investigate. So if there's kids, we bring different toys, things they'd like. If, you know, it's adults, sometimes we'll bring cards, or we'll bring, like, we have a fake gun that looks like from the old West time. You know, sometimes it's just nice to have those trigger objects, so sometimes the spirits will react with that. We've actually dressed the part. Sometimes too, we have gone to places when we've been in church areas as nuns. We've dressed as doctors and nurses, and yeah, sometimes you get more interaction that way. And it's kind of fun too.
It sounds fun. Hey, Maria, can you buy me a REM bear?
Dude, I tell you what, REM pods. Oh, my gosh, they're awesome because people don't realize it. And I've been at investigations before where I've had REM pods in two separate rooms, and I have been able to get spirit in interaction with each one. And the people that were there didn't realize the significance of what was going on. So I was excited and jumping up and down and just thinking, oh, my gosh, this is so awesome. And everybody else was looking at me like I was crazy. So when you get the REM pod interaction, you have to, like, calm yourself because this is so exciting and people don't realize what significance this is.
I don't know if REM pods were around when I was doing it. I should buy one.
Yeah, I like having them. I put them out all over the house, and they go off in all different locations of the house.
Jason, you don't need a REM pod because if it was to go off, you would, like,
freak me out.
Yes, exactly.
I would probably be like the previous owners of the Boyd house where they just kind of ignore it. Like if a chair slides across the floor, I'd be like, nope, I'm not even going to acknowledge that.
Well, when you're an investigator, you get excited about this stuff and people look at you like you're crazy, but then you have people that really freak out. And I'm sure Jill has seen plenty of people freak out over the smallest stuff that has happened.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have. But I get all excited when the REM pod. When the REM pod goes off, I run to it like, oh, my gosh, you're touching it. You know, so, yeah, I know the total excitement for that.
I got to ask.
And for everybody that's listening, a REM pod means a radiating electromagnetism pod.
So it's emitting. Isn't it supposed to amplify or provide energy to the spirit, or is that something else? Are you there?
I think he's thinking of like an EM pump.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of.
That's actually emitting, the electromagnetic energy to a spirit that's supposed to put energy in the air. This one doesn't put the energy in the air. This is just like think of it as a radar, and if you break that radar sonar barrier, you're going to set it off. That's kind of a way to think of it.
Have you ever used an EM pump?
We've used those on different investigations. We did one time, Donna and I, she's part of the paranormal group, so we did some cleaning, and we put an EM pump in every area of the house, and we left for like 5 hours because we went to the Historical Society and came back. And the house had this weird, weird energy after that. And then it made our spirit box really bad, like all, we couldn't even use it. So we thought we would never do that again in the house. But it had a really weird feel to it that night. It was so, it didn't increase, well, no, I guess it did increase the activity because a little girl or boy, he's not sure, crawled into bed with her that night. He felt someone snuggle up to her.
Holy cow.
So I don't know if that if that did it, but yeah, I didn't like the feel in the house. It was just too much in there. I don't know. Maybe we probably shouldn't have let it run for 5 hours. I don't know.
I've had a few times where I've walked into a house and I know you guys will know what this feels like. It's like walking into a wall. Just like it's hard to describe. Like an energy, like uncomfortable. Have you felt that before?
I have in other places, not at the Boyd House, but there have been other places where you walk in and you get that unwelcoming feel and you shouldn't be here. And yeah, so I kind of know what you're saying. And if I have had experience too at a theater where I tried to go forward and it was almost like there was some sort of weird barrier that, you know, that you couldn't get through.
Yeah, it's really a strange sensation. So you've had some activity with the REM pod at the Boyd House, and you've gotten some EVPs, I think you said?
Oh, yeah, we've gotten quite a few EVPs, and they seem to be responsive to either what you're asking or sometimes it's just observing what you're doing. I've gotten some different EVPs from it was a male. It was early morning, and I was tearing everything down, and I wasn't even talking. I was just, you know, you could hear me, you know, putting the tripods back together. And you just hear a gentleman say, "How are you this morning?" And I've gotten one time it was a, and I get, I think it's a girl. It's a really raspy voice, like somebody who smoked a lot of cigarettes in their time. And I get that voice a lot on EVPs saying different things. But there was one particular day that I was in the house by myself and just doing some work. You know, a lot of times when I'm there, I'm cleaning, doing laundry, you know, cleaning up from the last night's guests. And so I'm just rambling, talking on, as I normally just ramble on to them. And then you hear this raspy woman's voice, like, kind of talked over me, but she was not happy. Like, she was trying to get, she just kind of said, "I'm trying to get some sleep." You know, just really crabby looking. So, probably sick of me talking. I've been spackling because we've been doing some painting and renovating, and I've heard I got the EVP of that looks elegant. You know, so I suppose they haven't really seen spackle and stuff from how they had things back in the day. And just a lot of people there. Somebody's gotten the EVP where it was like maybe the third paranormal group I've had in there. So I like to talk to the spirits like they're there, and I just told them, you know, "Hey, I'm not going to be here all the time, but my friends are going to come, and please interact with them." So it's probably like the third group that came through, and they got an EVP as they were setting up of a woman that said, "Where's Jill?" So I was like, "Oh, they missed me." You know?
That's
so they
creepy.
They know who I am.
That's awesome.
So, they're starting to say my name more and more. They've on the spirit box too. My husband will come down there, and I've like pointed at him, go, "What's this guy's name?" And they say Justin, and he's like, "Oh, you know who I am too, huh?" So, you know, they interact and they respond to things that they should.
Have you seen any apparitions or anything?
I have not. I've had some people say they've seen a shadow figure, or they'll see people running in the kitchen. We've actually had a group, and you can go on our Facebook page too. They actually captured two. One looks like I would say older kid, maybe like 12-ish, followed by a smaller kid, maybe like 8-ish. And you see him just run really quick through the kitchen. And I know a lot of people would sit and think, oh my gosh, that's probably just headlights. But because I know how the house is situated, there's no way there would be any headlights coming in and going that direction in the house. So it was kind of cool to see that. And I think I've had one other person say they saw a man. But me, myself, I haven't. I've audibly heard voices. I've heard a woman's voice several times out loud. But I haven't seen anything yet. I'm really hoping they don't do it when I'm in bed.
That will freak me out. What is your take on shadow people? We've talked to a lot of people, hundreds, and you know, some people say that it's, you know, dark entities, and some other people say it's not. What's your take on that? Do you think that, because I think it's because people associate the darkness, you know, blackness with evil.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not convinced that it's anything negative, but what's your feeling on that?
I don't think it's anything evil. I think that's just the way that they present themselves. Maybe that's just the only amount of energy they can get up to show themselves versus, like, if you were looking at one and would see them like a person was there. So it's hard to say, but I wouldn't think that, in my opinion, I don't believe that's anything evil. I just think that's just the way that they are. I mean, they just look like shadow people. You know, that's just who they are.
I agree with you. I think it's just the way that they manifest themselves. That's the best they can do at the time. Because, it takes a lot of energy to manifest fully to where you can see something. So if it's a shadow person, that's the best that they can do with the energy that they have, and that's what you see.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that statement. Yep.
I don't know that I've ever really seen a shadow figure. I probably haven't, just thrown it in the back of my brain so it doesn't keep me up at night, but apparently it's pretty common.
I keep you up at night.
I know.
I've actually seen one shadow figure. We actually captured it on film as well. And it was weird because it was really, really hot out that day. It was probably like 95 degrees. It was super humid. We were just upstairs, and it was like on a second level, so it was nobody walking by. And we were just like talking about, well, we should probably run a spirit box. And I remember making the comment like, oh my gosh, isn't it like freezing cold in here all of a sudden? And then we just happened to look, and crossing in front of the windows was this complete shadow person looking about, you know, maybe almost 5'8" tall. And the way it almost looked like a strobe motion going across the windows. And we both looked at each other like, did you just see that? We're like, yeah. And we had no idea we captured it on film too. So that was really cool. And that's the only time I've ever seen a shadow figure, but it just, the way it moves is like you'd almost seen like a horror film or something, just that strobe, shadowy. It was really creepy, actually. but that's the only time I've actually ever seen anything like that.
Can you see through them, or are they kind of
no,
like,
it
are they translucent?
No, it was a solid black mass.
See, that's
scary.
Yeah, this
one was a solid black mass, yeah.
That's legit scary if I saw something like that.
Jason, you have seen worse than that, and you just refuse to acknowledge it, so...
Well, as long as UFOs and aliens and ghosts and demons stay out of my way, I'm good.
I think your life revolves around aliens.
Yeah, big black eyes keeping me up at night. You know, it's so bad. What was I watching on television the other day, a documentary on this guy that worked at this Nellis Air Force Base, and he claimed to have lived with these aliens for a couple months and all that. And I made it about halfway through the show, and I was like, I should not be watching this at night. And I had trouble sleeping, even though they were friendly aliens in the documentary. I was like, one eye open, like, oh God, I hope they don't come visit me. That's just me. Well, worry.
Well, hopefully Jill doesn't have aliens at the Boyd house.
Yeah. Any aliens at the
Boyd
house?
Yeah, none that I know of.
Okay.
None that I know of.
You have several teams that have investigated there. They've caught quite a bit of evidence, have they not?
Yeah, yeah, different things. So, like I said, the one group's got the shadow figures, a lot of good spirit box responses, different EVPs. We've had one. We actually had a doll. She was on the bed, and he was throwing ping pong, some type of ball at her, and she never fell down. He's walked right by the bed, never fell down. And then he was just sitting there and asked for a sign, and all of a sudden she fell backwards. And so that was, you know, kind of cool on that respect. We've had people have the toys being moved around, balls being, you know, pushed down the hallway. You hear footsteps. The SLS cameras. We're starting to get a lot with the SLS cameras at the house, so that's kind of a cool thing to have there. My favorite one is there was a team that actually had a K2 and a REM pod in a chair, and they had gotten, so right up near the chair, they got like a figure of the SLS. There was like a little person standing there. And then they said, well, can you go move over to the chair? And then it moved over to the chair. When it got to the chair, the REM pod started going off. The K2 started going off. The little stick figure sat down in the chair. They asked it to wave, and it would wave at them. So that was a really cool one to see, too.
Yeah, I'm like, and everybody knows, I'm kind of a skeptic with a lot of things. But when you tell me something like that,
you're more than a scaredy cat than a skeptic.
Well, a scaredy cat and a skeptic. But when you tell me there's multiple, you know, pieces of evidence that are kind of molded into one, it really adds credibility versus, you know, where you just see something out of the corner of your eye. I mean, you have all this technology going off, and that to me is really fascinating.
Yeah, and I love seeing everything that everybody gets. Like I said, when I go down there, sure, I get some time to investigate, but when I bought the house, I didn't plan on that I would have to clean it and take care of it. So I do a lot more of maintenance and upkeep when I'm there, but I'm always running voice recorder. I do try to get some time in to do investigating. So it's fun to see everybody's. And what I find, like you say, too, that's interesting is piecing together the same type of voices that we're getting. You know, I hear the same male voice coming from different groups. They send me EVPs, and it's the same guy. Not saying the same thing, but it's the same voice. Like I said, the lady with the raspy voice, I've actually had people, hey, do you ever have a raspy voice? Oh, yes, all the time. So we're trying to, I think, having all these people coming in, too, we're going to be able to piece together, you know, what is really going on, you know, at the house.
It'd be so cool if you could link potential, you know, people with those entities. It'd be fascinating if you could, like, find some lady that had a raspy voice that passed away. That'd be really neat.
Yeah, it would be nice, too, if we can link. Like I said, we only have the one that we can link with the deed, with the name. But all the other names I tend to get have nothing, like, they are not on my deed whatsoever. Like, I don't know who these people are, but I'll keep getting their name. We just recently got one on the spirit box. I was like, can you tell me your name? And it was a little boy that said, Luke, I'm 8. Well, that's the first time I've heard Luke. And I do know there's children there. So there, I think, I don't know if we're enticing more to come or we're just actually bringing them out more. It's hard to say because, like I said, we don't know what went on in the land back in the day. That was all farmland. That was the wild, wild west. And also for us, we're right on that, kind of by the edge of town, and we're right on the edge of the Sioux Dakota reservation line. So you know there was a lot of stuff that was happening back in the day there, too, that nobody's ever even recorded anything. So there could be a lot to just do with the land, you know, as well, that we will never, ever probably know.
Yeah, I mean, something had to be there before that house, you know. What do you think, Maria?
I love it all. I think it's so fascinating that you had a child to tell you his name. But then again, like you said, you kind of wonder, is it really a child's name that you've gotten, or is it something else that's trying to bring you into its world or whatever it is?
That's always a risk.
Oh, it could be. I think, at least hopefully at this point, and you never know. I mean, for me, I don't like Ouija boards. I think those bring in a lot of negativity. So I ask that nobody uses them at the house. But you don't know when people are there what they're doing and what they could possibly bring in with them or bringing in to the house as well. And again, using antiques and things like that. You don't. I could be bringing in something negative that I'm unaware of. As of now, though, I don't feel any negative energy at the house. Everything to me feels very, very positive. And, you know, I think they just like to reach out and communicate. And, we're just getting more different names every time.
Do you think that if you ever felt anything negative there, that you would try to do some type of clearing of the house to make sure that nothing bad ever showed up?
Yeah, if there was some sort of negative, I would bring in somebody who was experienced because I would like to keep the good energy going. I have asked the spirits before, are you happy here? Do you want to leave? Are you trapped? And they all say they're happy and they want to be there. So I don't think they want to leave. If they wanted to leave, I would certainly help them. I can't do it, but I know people who can help them cross over. Because I don't want to feel like anything's trapped, but I think, to me, I feel if you, unless it was something tragic, I think most people who are where they're at is because they choose to be there. Or children may be lost, but they still may be happy where they're at. So it's a fine line, I guess. I guess we'll never really know, but the ones that I've talked to, they seem to be happy, at least where we're at.
I'm glad that you stay on top of the children being happy, anything they're being happy, because it is so hard when you let other people in, and like you said, you don't know what people do in that house. It's kind of scary. It's a fine line, and so I'm really glad that you stay on top of the positive.
Yeah, I try to do things for them too. I'm always asking, what would you want? We actually had one 3 times say they liked fudge, so we baked homemade fudge and brought it down for them one day when we went down. I had even asked, you know, and I know they can't eat it, but it's just kind of a peace thing, you know. And I had asked, I think like a couple weeks later, did you know that I brought the fudge for you? Did you know that was here? And we heard plain as day, yes. On a spirit
Aww.
Box that they he had brought the fudge.
That is sweet.
So, and then we just had one recently ask for candy. So next time I go, I got to bring them some candy. And I just, you know, I tell the kids if you play with things, people bring you toys. And of course, every time I come now, there's a new toy. I'm like, oh, look, you guys got an airplane. That's really cool. You know, I didn't bring that airplane down. So, I think the more they interact, they're learning that the more I interact, I get more fun stuff. So,
how you're allowing groups in? Do you ask groups to come do it, or is that like something that they charge to come in and do an investigation there at the Boyd House?
Yeah, I do. What it is I do $175 a night for up to 8 people. And then I allow them to investigate from 3 p.m. till noon the next day. So it gives them some time to come in, kind of get a feel for the house, get their equipment set up, and then plenty of time to investigate. And then if they need to catch a little bit of sleep before they need to take off, if they can do that. So that's kind of a nice thing that I like to do for that.
And they can just hit us up either on Facebook, private message to request a date, or we also have our website at stcroixparanormal.com. You can hit us up that way, too, to request investigation to spend the night at the house.
Have you ever done an investigation where you did run into, like, a negative entity?
Not at the house, of course, but I guess our worst one that I would say would be at Whispers Estate over in Mitchell, Indiana. And that house is known to have a lot of negative, not-so-nice spirits in that house, and we were aware of that. And there was a particular closet, it's called Virgil's Closet, and it was like a man had, on his day of retirement, had passed away, dropped out of a heart attack as he was putting his tools away at the end of the day to leave. And I'm thinking he's pretty upset about that. So a lot of bad negative stuff goes on with this closet. Like, they don't even like the closet left open. People have been locked in there, and it's kind of one of those old, like, where you have to kind of pick up the lock and then slide it over and then drop it back down. And that's the only way from the outside. So people have gotten locked in. People have gotten scratched and touched in there. So we were in the closet, of course. And I had heard a male voice in my head that said, "Get out of this closet." So I stepped out and didn't tell my teammate, Teresa, that. But part of it, I have a thing about being in closets, and I just don't always feel like the doors are going to shut on me, so I don't like that. So I just thought, it's just me being all paranoid, if I didn't say anything. Later on the spirit box, just before this happened, we heard, "Shut this door," and then we didn't do it. So the next thing, Teresa was sitting in a chair, and her and the chair went flying about 4 feet across the room. So it was not really happy. Yeah, so that was probably one of our scariest moments that we've ever had. We've all been touched. Yeah.
She was sitting in the
chair.
She
was sitting in a chair. Yep, sitting in a chair. And even afterwards, I was like checking, like, okay, did you fall? How sturdy is this chair? And she's like, "Look, if I fell out of the chair, I would have fell straight forward. I wouldn't have flown this far out into the hallway with the chair." And, which makes sense. If she was just going to teeter and tip out of the chair, she'd be flat on her face, forward, not that far away out of the closet into the hallway. So, and she's like, "I physically felt somebody push it very hard, and that's why I'm out here." And, yeah. So we locked the closet, went downstairs, took a little break, regrouped, and then we went back up there.
And that's the exact reason I don't do paranormal investigations anymore. You never know what you're going to get.
Hey, I'm going to tell you, paranormal investigations are way easier than the alien stuff you've gone through. So I think you would be good.
I was lucky when I was doing paranormal investigations. I didn't really ever run into anything creepy other than creepy EVPs. It's always an interesting experience when you're viewing EVPs and you hear somebody say, "Jeez." Clear as day. Creepy.
Bill, have you ever done an investigation where something called out your name? Like, specifically?
It's usually, unfortunately, most of the stuff we get is after the fact. And, as you're reviewing everything, I haven't heard anything on, like, the live EVPs or anything like that. Excuse me. I've heard stuff after, definitely. Like my favorite EVP, I think, is we were at the Randolph Infirmary, and Therese and I were the only ones in the asylum. And you get this EVP of this lady says, "Hello, girls, pleased to meet you. Come on in." And I so wish I would have heard that at the time. This whole long sentence, and I'm like, wow, we just kept on walking. So, those kind of things.
Do you use the spirit box often or no?
Yeah, that's for me, that's like one of my favorite tools just because of the whole scientific behind it.
how you can't really fully say a sentence in 1/100th of a second. And I've just proven so many times again for me, because it says things that it would never say on an AM radio. It's saying the last name of the people who lived in a house. It's full sentences. Sometimes it's swear words. And so to me, that's just definite positive proof that this is not just the radio talking. And like I said, they give you direct answers to your questions. So that's one of my favorite tools to use as well as for investigating too. Yeah.
I've never used one. It sounds fascinating.
You really need to. And it's really fun. If you take a spirit box and you put the headphones in it and you're listening to it and you go to a separate room and somebody else is asking questions, and then whatever you hear, you repeat. So then when you put the recording together, the person that is listening to the spirit box and just telling what they're hearing, and you compare it to the recording of the person that is asking the questions, it will blow your mind.
I kind of equate that to the same as a Ouija board. Like, how is that different than, I mean, communicating is communicating, right?
I think so. What do you think, Jill?
Well, it's communicating, I guess. Any other way would be same as if you had a K2 meter or, hey, just touch my hand, or just reaching out any way that any of them are a tool to use. It's just which one are you leaving more of an open door for, I guess, is how you have to look at it.
Usually whenever you're using it, usually whenever you're doing an EVP session, you're constantly asking questions, and a lot of people don't close that session out like you would if you used a Ouija board.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I feel like they would say the prayers after the Ouija board, close it out. Probably should do it after a spirit box session as well. But like you say, if you're just doing any sort of communicating, like, hey, touch this K2 or, you know, the 500 questions you have for the EVPs, then you just move on for the end of the day, and you might even just say, okay, good night, and that was it. Now you just left that wide open. So I guess any form of communication, I guess, could be a way of a way in.
Have you ever had anything to follow you home?
I have not personally had anything follow me home. We've had three actually of my teammates have had stuff follow him home. One, he never had anything. He lived in an apartment building. Nothing's ever happened. And this was after I think we went to Malvern Manor. And we're usually pretty good about when we leave to say, you know, a prayer, you have to stay. And I think after we talked about it, he said, no, I think I forgot to do that. So once he got home, he started having like the faucet turn on in his bathroom and the kitchen. The dog was going crazy. His wife was all of a sudden
"I
feel uneasy in the apartment." And that probably lasted like 2 weeks. And every day he would say, "You're not welcome here. You need to leave." And then finally, after about 2 weeks, that it kind of all died down and stopped. Teresa's had stuff in her home too, where she's, you know, her husband lived there, grew up there in that house and never had a problem. And it was after another investigation. I can't remember which one hers was from, but she started having like doors closing. She'd be in the shower and you'd hear like the door rattling, and she was thinking her husband was trying to get in, and he's like, no, I didn't. So just some weird stuff. So she told it to go away, and that took a bit for that one to go away. And then Donna saw a cowboy once too for like a couple of days to show up in her room. And she's kind of got the gift. She'll see them, so she's just like, hey. So he eventually went away.
He
never did anything, but yeah. But so lucky for me, I haven't had anything so far, and I hope it stays that way.
Did you ever have anything follow you, Maria?
I think I had a few things that tried, but I stopped. stop them before I got to my home. I think whatever happens at my home is because it was here originally. It's not ever been anything outside of this area.
Something could have followed me home. I don't know. I'm kind of dense.
That was just that old chili dog that you ate down the corner that followed you home.
Yeah.
And Jill, I'm kind of, you have an event that's possibly coming up for the Boyd House?
Yeah, I have to check in with Chris. I would say right now it's kind of tentative just with all this COVID going on. And then I just heard they moved out the social distancing until April 30th. So I'm going to reach out to them and see what we're going to do with that. I think tentatively waiting to see how things are going to shake up with that. But I'm guessing the way things are, it's probably not going to happen at this point. So, but he was planning on doing a Ghost Hunter University at the house. So that's kind of, I think he was going to do some sort of presentation and then use his special spirit box that he developed to kind of communicate with the spirits that were there, that are there, I guess.
Well, this is an absolutely beautiful home. And I'm so glad that you got it because you just have such a sweet disposition and you're a kind soul. So I hope you can do this April 25th event.
Yeah, I think that'll be a lot of fun. So we'll kind of hold off and see what happens. And I would really like to see what kind of stuff that they get. I don't have any. So I can feel when spirits are around me, but I can't communicate with them. I can't really, other than, you know, using spirit boxes and EVPs to communicate. So I always like having people who have the ability to speak, just because it's kind of nice to maybe find out some more information. And, you know, it's nice to know who you're talking to. And then I feel like I have a better way of communicating with them, and I can, you know, make it more comfortable for them while they're there. You know, maybe I can find out who it is. And then if I did some research, maybe yellow is her favorite color and I can paint her room yellow, or, you know, just something just to kind of make them feel a little bit better.
Well, we do have a couple minutes left. What's the best way for people to learn more about the Boyd House? Would that be your Facebook page?
Yeah, like I said, our Facebook page would be the best one, just under the Boyd House LLC. We're kind of up to date, everything on that, any of our news going on. And otherwise, our website's stcroixparanormal.com. And that'll tell you a little bit about us. So we all also have some information there on the Boyd House. Or you can direct email us at boydhouse217@yahoo.com.
Well, very cool. Well, Jill, I want to thank you so much for taking the time this evening to coming on the show and telling us a little bit about the Boyd House this evening.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was fun, and hopefully more people will check it out. And I'd be happy to answer any questions anybody has about the house.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for coming on. And, you know, we'll have to get you back on in the future for an update on what's happening out there.
Oh, absolutely. Love to.
Definitely. I really enjoyed speaking with you tonight. Thank you for taking your time out for us.
Yes, thanks for having me out.
Thanks, Jill. All right, Maria. Do you happen to know what we got going on next week? Because I have no clue.
I do not know, because our wonderful psychic medium, Sherry, has not told us yet what we are doing, what our marching orders is just yet.
You know, she does such an amazing job at setting stuff up. Because as everybody knows,
really
I'm
does.
The king of laziness.
Yeah.
I roll out of bed and show up to the show. I really take lazy to a next level.
You really do. I do have a gentleman we've had on before, Jason Wilkerson. You remember him before? We've had him on, and he kind of wants to come back. He gives us the lowdown on some of these groups that are not so, I don't want to say jerks, but yes, they are jerks, and they try to take advantage of people, take their money on these fake organizations supposedly. Yeah. So he'd like to come back to call out a few.
I will cleanse your house. I will cleanse your house for $1,000. Yes, you've got spirits. Write me a check for $1,000, and they will be gone. And I won't even have to come to your house. I'll do it over the phone.
Yes, exactly. And he likes to call out those groups, and I completely appreciate that because, man, I tell you what, it just makes my blood boil. These groups that want to charge to come to investigate your home. This should be a free service. Nobody should ever pay you for the hell or charge you for the hell that you're going through. So, yeah, we need to have Jason back on sometime.
There's really no reason to solicitate groups, you know, that charge you because there's, for everyone that charges you, there's probably 50 that don't, you know what I mean? And they're everywhere. Although finding a good one might be trouble because